Today we're going to talk about brokenness. And this is near and dear to my heart because this fast, as I've spoken to some other people, this fast is just killing me. Not because of what I've given up, but because of what God keeps showing me inside of myself, what is in me. And he reminded me that that is the point of a fast. That it is to take away the things that we have used to cover up what is bothering us, keep us distracted from what is bothering us, make us not think about the things that are going on in our life, or just really want to feel good, you know, and avoid all pain. And fasting, when you lay these things down as he directs, ends up revealing the stuff we've been avoiding, or the stuff we did not want to deal with, the stuff we didn't even know was there. Melissa and I were talking about how I had posted on Facebook and I had said this fast is slaying me because of what it's showing me. And she shared, she said yes, she had to be sequestered because she was going to kill somebody. And then somebody else put on there that, yeah, it was amazing because all of a sudden all this anger rose up and he almost punched somebody in the nose, which he hadn't done in a very long time. So a fast doesn't make something happen in you. A fast reveals what is already inside of you. Okay? It reminds me of the word for temptation. And temptation means to put you in a situation that shows you what's really inside of you. So if you're in really simple situations, it's not going to challenge you. It's not going to bring up anything that's inside of you. But put a little thorn in your flesh, make you trip and fall, keep something from you that you want or you think you need, and all of a sudden it's amazing what will come out of you. Attitude, ugly words, you know, bad responses. But there's all sorts of things. But I wanted to talk about brokenness because there's a misunderstanding about brokenness. When we come to church, for some reason, we think that brokenness means that we are not right with God. That there is a problem with our relationship with God, that we do not have it all together. And we're going to flip that on its head, because if brokenness was good enough for Jesus, should it not be broken good enough for us? This need to show a perfect face, obviously Ministry House is the kind of place you come when you know you have a problem and you need to deal with it. And we are a different kind of community. I've been reading a book that was written actually in 1999, and it talks about spiritual community, and the more it describes it, I'm like, that's Ministry House. That's Celebrate Recovery. People being honest. People being broken and vulnerable with other people, and instead of everybody facing one person who's speaking into their lives, they turn their chairs around towards each other and they share out of their own brokenness and encourage out of their own brokenness. They actually get to know what's going on in each other's lives. People don't stay here who don't want to share in their personal lives. People don't stay here if they don't want to be known, they don't want to be seen. People stay here because they want community. They want intimate fellowship that they can't get on the work site, or they can't get in a church where there's a ton of people and you just sit in the back and you hear something and you leave. Not something in that's superficial. And I'm not saying anything bad about church, but people are in different places. But the thing we all want is love. We want acceptance. We want someone else to know us for who we are and not walk away from us, not reject us. Even more so, be kind to us, be gentle with us, care about us. This is what we want. And if you can't get that at church, shame on the church.
Amen.
Right?
Sure.
Where else should we go other than to other people who have known and have said out loud, I am broken, I am sinful, I need a savior. That was the first step. Right?
Sure, sure.
There is something in me that's so messed up. That's one of the ways that I knew I needed to be saved back when I was 19. I didn't care if my mother lived or died. I was just miserable. I thought, what kind of daughter couldn't care if her mother lives or dies? There's something wrong with me, just like my mother's been telling me all these years. There's something wrong with you. Hey, But you know what? I had to admit, this is not right. There's something very broken in me. And it wasn't until I came to that realization that I even sought out a savior. So brokenness is a good thing. It's just like pain in your body, right? Well, one of the first words we taught our grandson was hot, hot. Didn't want him going near the stove. We'd go, hot, well, hot.
Or go away,
yeah, well, that too. And he's heading towards something, and that's what we do with the dogs, and we do with children, and it all works the same. But we'd go, hot, and hot became the byword for not just hot, but it meant it's going to hurt you. It might not actually be hot, but we use that word still, hot. We wanted you to be scared of that. Well, pain in your body tells you what? That something is wrong, and it needs to be dealt with, correct?
Sure.
Brokenness is the same thing. God does not want self-sufficient people. He has no desire and no need for people who can do it all themselves.
That's good.
What's the three words? I got this. I think there's nothing that makes God laugh more than hearing us say those three words. I got this. No, we don't. Well, we got something, but it's not of Him. It's not His. It's not His power. It's not His mercy. It's not His love. That's not what we got. What we got is flesh. What we got is only to please ourselves. And every relationship we come in contact with is going to have conflict. Why? Because both of us really, at our flesh, only care about ourselves. Come on, be real. Be real. Even codependent people who say, oh, you know, I live for this other person. My whole life is wrapped around this other person. What? But you know why you're that way? Because it makes you feel good. Or even more so, why do codependents stay with drug addicts and other things and try and help them or whatever it is? Because what you're doing is negatively affecting my life. I have got to fix you because you're annoying the crap out of me. Right? Whatever it is, it's affecting my life negatively. So in other words, even my trying to give to you and be nice, it's really for me. So life is always going to be dealing with brokenness. It's a broken world out there. Ever since the fall, the world, physical creation, is broken. Right? Bodies are broken. Minds are broken. They're born different ways. The way nature happens and occurs, and there's destruction. All of these things. Remember, in the garden, everything just grew. Didn't have to water it. It was just there. Creation lived to serve Adam and Eve and provide for them. It was their servant. After the fall, we were the servant that had to work the land in order to get stuff out of it.
That's right.
All right? So the world is broken. We are broken. We are self-centered, and every person we come in contact, we're going to have conflict with them, right? We are. So brokenness is a result of, first, sin, the fact that we were born, and second of all, the fact that it's a fallen creation. So I want every single person in here to understand, brokenness is nothing to be ashamed of. Everyone is broken. Just not everyone is willing to admit it or to allow God to use their brokenness to change them into His image. Okay? So before we go, I just want to ask anybody, during those of you who have been fasting, or even if you haven't, has God been revealing anything to you through this fast? Anything within you about yourself? You want to share? You don't have to.
No, it's fine. I've been about 2 weeks on it right now, and God has definitely shown me that my relationships have gotten better since that.
Okay.
Like with my friends and stuff like that, because I'm not like using like my coping isolation mechanism.
Very good.
But it's also been showing me how angry I can get with people in very short. Ooh. When I don't think that they're doing what they need to be doing.
Ooh, excellent. Anger coming out. But that's good. Showing us a different thing. When we take away our normal coping mechanisms, we have to do things in a different way, don't we? Excellent. Anybody else?
Well, mine. I talked to you earlier.
Share
about
it. Yeah, go ahead.
Nerve in my neck, and it moved to the middle of my back. Now I was talking to my assistant. I'm like, are these kids really freaking crazy, or is it just because I'm not feeling good? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it goes along with the anger because. Mm-hmm. Students weren't doing what I thought they should be doing, or doing things they shouldn't be doing.
I'm very yeah.
But these past few days, it's like, I just can't do this. Am I in the wrong business? I'm in fear of having teacher burnout.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm hoping that's not the case. You know, I'm hoping it's just because I don't feel good. It's a pinched nerve, whatever. But still,
very
there's no
good.
Excuse for it.
Excellent, and that's a perfect example to segue into the other stuff we're going to share. How that brokenness, that pain you have, causes you to react in ways that you might not necessarily want to react,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
And things, the kids could have been doing the exact same thing mm-hmm. yesterday, but today, it makes you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the response is not quite as nice as yesterday.
Right.
All right, anybody else want to share what God has been doing in their life or revealing to them about themselves? Yes.
I've learned that I keep everything hidden.
Ooh.
Including a big portion of myself, even trying to hide from God.
Very good.
And He's showing me. But I can't hide from the people around me. Can't hide from him.
Mm-hmm.
I have to not be afraid to be. Like, have no outside protection.
The word is vulnerable. We're going to talk mm-hmm. about that today. Excellent. Fear of vulnerability, fear of hurt, and isolation, hiding.
And fear
mm-hmm.
is the predominant thing going on in me.
Yes.
I thought I was fearless, but I'm actually so full of fear that we now know from recent tests that alone damaged my body physically.
Mm-hmm. Fear will. Stress.
It actually ate away at parts of me. It's so hard not to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to let people know that you're afraid.
Why? Why is it hard to let people know that you're afraid? Come on, somebody else answer me. Why is it?
Well, it's kind of like when a hermit crab comes out of its shell. Sorry, I'm into a long introduction on this. But like when a hermit crab comes out of its shell, it's like it's completely vulnerable and it could be like hurt or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it quickly tries to find a shell.
Mm-hmm.
Before the outside forces can affect it.
That's right. Nick, what'd you say?
You're afraid to get attacked.
Afraid to get attacked?
Weakness.
That's right.
Being judged.
Weakness. Ooh, being judged. That's a huge thing, especially where? In the church. You don't have enough faith. You're not strong enough. You're not accessing the Spirit enough. You're in sin, whatever it is. The church needs to be the one place that accepts the fact. If anybody knows that people are messed up, it should be Christians, because we are messed up. Why do we expect other people to be better off and or as good as us or better? It doesn't work that way. We as the church understand that people mess up over and over and over again. And the same patience we want given to us is the same patience that we need God to flow through us to give to others.
If you're not right with God
mm-hmm.
as your strength, you're afraid to be alone.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man, I wish I brought that. That's exactly it. But all of us are afraid to be alone. We may have built up walls that made us act like we're strong and we don't care and whatever else it is. But that is the number one fear of everyone. That I will be alone. And therefore, it's so important how I look or how I act or how people see me, whatever it is, because these things will either attract people or keep people away, or so we've been taught. All right? So this brokenness really goes back to two things. A search for significance and a search for security. We want to be important to people, and we want them to stay. We want them to help protect us. Those are the two things we want in life. And our brokenness will always reveal where we are not believing God to be what we need and provide what we need. That's what our brokenness is showing us. Okay? Now, for me, since I've got an eating disorder, and I have fasted and all throughout the years, and especially in the last 2 years, my fast is not necessarily an eating one as much as he said, you know what to do. Just do what you're supposed to do. But he said I was to give up Netflix because Ronnie and I were spending, I don't know, 3-4 hours a night watching Netflix. That's our time together. But I found out I would be rushing home before he got home so I could see the stuff that I wanted to watch that he doesn't want to watch. Mm. And I'd be looking, forward to this, like I'd be at work thinking, ooh, I can go home and I can watch Midsummer Murders. Or I'd look forward to Brennan and Booth of Bones, you know, or the Gilmore Girls.
That's why I felt that, oh man, when I walked in.
I have to turn.
Change the channel.
So, yeah, I know. And you would think not such an not such a big thing to give up, but you know, it felt like a phantom limb syndrome. I was so used to that being the thing that distracted me from everything, gave me pleasure, but even worse, I said, God, why is this bother? Why am I so addicted to this? He goes, these are your friends. Oh my gosh. These are your easy two-dimensional friends. You never have any problems with them. They never cause you any problems. You don't ask of anything from me. You can turn them off when you are done. You can fast forward through the parts of the relationship or the journey that you don't want to. You can even skip to the end and find out what's going to happen.
Rewind back to the things you like.
Oh, that's right. Replay the things you like.
Oh, God, soap opera.
Okay. But do you understand that what it was for me was not only just a way to not think about anything else, but it was a cheap way to feel a type of friendship without putting out any effort whatsoever and having to deal with the natural conflict that happens in all relationships. Isn't that interesting? Now, I would not have known that had I not laid it down and God said, all right, now how do you feel without that? And I just want to keep veering off into the sunroom to go watch my... I was talking to Susan. I said, we are, all of us anyways, like a car that's wheels are out of alignment. You know how you let go of the steering wheel and it just veers off to one side? That's the sin bent in all of us, okay, that will remain in our flesh. But that's what I kept feeling like. Like my wheels kept turning towards the sunroom. I'm like, no, I have to stay out of there. And do you know the moment that I stopped that and I made the commitment, amazing everything that I got done. My laundry got put away. That night, yes, my laundry got put away. And then I pulled out a book, this one on spiritual community that I had bought that I hadn't been reading because why hadn't I read any of my books or been spending time in the Word or anything? Because I'm watching Netflix. I'm zoning out, right? And anything, you know, there's nothing wrong with watching Netflix. There's nothing wrong with watching videos. There's nothing wrong with doing a lot of stuff. But when it replaces God, when it replaces what you should be doing, like putting away your laundry, when it becomes a stumbling block to you in any area of your life, and when you have a problem laying it down, these are the things you have to face and ask yourself, why am I doing that?
I share it real quick. You know, please. My racing, you know, God shut me down for how many years? Like 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally I kept praying, Lord, you know, if you see fit, you know, I'm sure we'll like race again, whatever. And the Lord says, it's okay to have something as long as it don't have you. And I knew right away what he meant. And I think all of us do. That's one of the things. He wants us to have stuff. He wants us to be blessed. But when it becomes bigger than him,
mm-hmm.
when it becomes more to us than anything, you know,
yep.
then that's when he'll either cut it out of our life,
yes,
or we'll be in misery.
Oh, that's good. That's towards the end of the sermon. Anyways, this stuff that was just the tip of the iceberg for me with the brokenness and with the fast. I start reading this book and all of a sudden, God starts showing me ways I have failed Ronnie. Now, I want to tell you the difference between conviction and condemnation. God, through the Holy Spirit, will convict you. And conviction says this. This, what you did is not right. You need to fix this. You need to stop doing this. Whatever it is. Conviction talks about the action or the problem and provides a solution. Condemnation says, you suck. You are a loser.
Yeah.
You are defective.
Yes.
You are wrong. You are a mess.
Amen.
Okay? So, little side note, that was for free. So, Holy Spirit is convicting me about the ways that I've been falling short in my relationship with Ronnie. And he would reveal something, and I would have to go out to the sunroom and repent. Come back. Read some more, Holy Spirit convict me, get up, go back to the sunroom, repent for that. Come back 3 times. Now this is all just this, we started the fast on Sunday, and this is how mine started out Sunday night.
What a book.
I know. But it showed me how I had been pulling away from Ronnie. And how I had not been serving him. I had not been giving to him. I had not been making him feel as if he was the most important human being in my life. That's because my fake friends on TV were more important. Like he said about how, you know, that's why I would sense me coming in and going, aw. But he'd sit down and I'm like, can I just finish watching just 5 more minutes, you know, of this? I mean, seriously. But why? Because in reality, relationships, the more you spend time with someone, the closer you are with them, the more conflict arises. Right? So what do? Is we pull back from those. And then once we start sensing that we are not as important to the other person, what do? We build up walls and we start pulling back.
Selfish.
Always self-protective. Always. This is from a baby. So, as God is revealing these things to me, this brokenness, he's showing not only how I have failed that, but then he starts revealing to me why I've been feeling so uncomfortable the past week. Why I've been edgy, why I've been impatient, why I've been wanting to move beyond God's timing in certain areas of my life. And I'd be hearing these words pop up, like pride, fear. And I'm like, what? Yeah, okay. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks very quietly, and then you can just ride roughshod right over him. You know, it's true. Most of the time, what I hear from the Holy Spirit is just one thing. Mm-mm. That's it. Except his is not quite as loud. Mm-mm. That's how I know God is saying no. Because you know what? After 33 years of being a Christian, I should be able to know better by now. He doesn't need to do a long harangue to me. So, finally, this brokenness, here I am repenting to Ronnie, and every time I repent, some more walls fall. And the pathway, the connection between me and God, opens up a little bit more. I repent again, and it opens up a little more, and I repent again, and it opens up again, because my sin, my selfishness, my isolation, my self-protection cuts me off. I'm building up walls to protect myself, but they come between me and God. Right? So fasting and brokenness, the brokenness that's happening is, number one, the walls are coming down, which reveals the vulnerable parts of us, and
inside
we have to face
us, yes.
It.
Yes. Inside of us.
Inside of us. So as I'm doing this, God is saying, the reason you have been so bent out of shape is because you really don't trust me. You guys, some of you know about Koinonia and about wanting to move forward. I just, morning, noon, and night, my heart is to house the homeless. I cannot shake it. It is possessing me. And it's not something of me. It's just a desire that rises up. I'm not agitated or aggravated. That's another way you can tell whether it's your flesh or the enemy, or if it's God. If it draws you, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God. If you feel like you're being pushed from behind, like you've got to do this or something bad will happen, that's the enemy or your flesh. Okay? But there's no fear when God's pulling you. And I've been peaceful for a while, but then I started thinking, I've got this meeting coming up at the end of January where I'm going to sit with all the rest of the nonprofits and give them an update as to where Koinonia is. And I wasn't going to have anything to say. Pride. How will it look like? It'll look like I started a nonprofit in a ministry and it's not going anywhere. How will I look? I was embarrassed. I'm just being dead honest. And then I started having fear. God, you know, even though I know, part of me knows for sure you're the one who put this in me, what if it's not going to happen in a timely manner and I'm going to look foolish? I'm going to look like a failure. Anybody ever fear failure? And your reputation being damaged or anything like that? And God said, all of this fear and this pride, it's all linked together, that's making you push and trying to go faster than I want you to go. You know, at one point you were happy to go at my rate, and whatever happens, happens, and you understood you're just there to connect people, not take it on yourself. And what did I start doing? Taking it on myself, trying to make something happen out of fear and pride, but the fear and pride were just the symptoms. The cause was because I didn't believe God was going to do what he said he was going to do in his timing. It was an Abraham and an Ishmael kind of thing. Well, you know, Isaac isn't happening right now, so I'll just try and make an Ishmael. Well, this is one of the things that Ronnie and I ended up having to talk about and struggle about. Because he's got, of course, ministry house, and he's been working on a transition house, and some other opportunities have opened up, and some things that could actually allow Koinonia and RPM Ministries, which is what Ministry House is, what both of us could do something together. And Ronnie's like, why do you keep separating from me? Why is there's Koinonia and there's RPM, there's Koinonia and there's Ministry House? He says, I don't understand. And God was doing some stuff for RPM that was making me jealous and resentful. Jealous because why are you doing it for him and for Ministry House and not for me and Koinonia? I'm just being honest. And so the more Ronnie talked about all these great things, the more the pit of my stomach started souring because all I could see was Koinonia getting further, and the realization of Koinonia getting further and further away. And I was like, don't you understand? Just throw me a bone. You know, tell me that I can do something with Koinonia. But it wasn't Ronnie telling me yes or no. It was God. By allowing a situation to either happen or not happen, by telling me and directing me. And even more so, God spoke to me clearly. He says, you are to put Ronnie and this particular ministry first. You're to stop, do everything you can to help him right now. In the next 30 days, you work with him. I heard him, and I kept trying to push him away. Until finally, I'm standing in the hallway with Ronnie, blubbering, sobbing. Heaving snot. I'm like, well, and for those of you who know me, I don't cry very often. I just don't. And I was a mess. And we're standing in the hallway in front of the front door. And Ronnie said, and I'm like, I guess I'm just going to have to give up, lay down my desire and my dream for Koinonia. And it's just, I'm just going to let it all go.
Me being the codependent man I am.
Well, he's actually the least codependent person on the face of the earth. Facetious. Yeah, he's being facetious. But he says to me, do you not believe that what God has done in this other situation, he can do for Koinonia? And it was like taking a rubber mallet and just popping me in the head. How did I get so far from a couple of months ago, even, when I was perfectly fine? but it was my fear, my pride that I didn't even know I had, that this fast revealed as to why I was agitated and trying to move outside of God's will. So do you understand there are things in our lives that are causing us to do things and act certain ways? Now, Ronnie would talk and talk and talk, and this is a big part of brokenness I want you to hear. He would be talking to me, and 3 months ago, had he been saying these things to me, I would have heard them and accepted them. They wouldn't have affected me negatively. But those same words said last Sunday, all I could hear was, and it was like Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. Everything he says, all I hear is, I see Koinonia on a raft on the ocean, floating further and further away. So he's going, wah, 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 and I'm singing, bye, bye, Koinonia. Wah, 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 bye, bye, Koinonia. That's all it is. My brokenness could not hear his words. They twisted his words. They skewed his words. Our brokenness breaks our ability to see the truth. It's like a mirror that's shattered, and you know how it's bent and all those, and you stand in front of it, you can't even see the whole picture. You can't see yourself, can you? You see little fractions of it, but you don't see the big picture. So our brokenness causes us to not be able to understand what other people are saying and not be able to understand what God is doing. Our brokenness always boils down to a lack of faith in God in some area of our lives. Normally the thing we fear the most, the thing we want the most, and the thing we fear the most, we think God will not protect us and God will not provide for us. That's the source of all of our brokenness. It's different symptoms, it's different ways it's going to show itself, right? That's what brokenness does to us. So that's why our relationships, the more broken we are in our relationships will only be as good as the level of our health is. When you, man or woman, want to be loved, and you want to be loved, no, let me put this back. You don't want to be loved, you need to be loved. Something back in your past has told you you are unlovable, or made you think it's you're unlovable. Been rejected, been hurt, been abused, whatever it is. And so the one thing you want, and this was me most of my life, is you want someone to prove you wrong and everyone else wrong, that I am lovable. You love me just the way I am, unconditionally, right? This is not a want, this is a need, because I'm broken and I don't believe I am worthy of being loved. Right? So, unfortunately, what that does, and this is going to explain almost every relationship every one of you has ever been in, it's like a foghorn that starts blaring out, I am so broken, I am so needy. I have to have someone prove to me that I am lovable, and I will put up with just about anything as long as 10% of the time you make me feel loved. And I promise you, there is someone who is listening to that foghorn. Someone on the other end who goes, wait a minute, I hear a needy, vulnerable person who can be manipulated.
10%.
And all I have to do is give 10%, and then you know what? They need it so badly that I can manipulate them by then pulling that love and acceptance back until they do what I need them to do. Dysfunctional relationships, anyone? Mm-hmm. We will always end up being with people who are equally as broken as we are.
That's right.
And that's why in marriages or relationships, as some people heal more or at a different rate, there is conflict and you feel like you don't fit anymore in the relationship. That's why a lot of people divorce. It's because you're growing at different rates and it just feels uncomfortable. I don't have that connection with you. But if you wait long enough, hopefully there will be an evening out, and then again, and then you get used to the fact that it's not always going to feel close and intimate because we're dealing with different things and growing at different rates. But brokenness means not only that you don't understand or see or hear things as they really are, it also means that you are projecting to other people your brokenness, and they will respond to you in brokenness. I once had a guy said, you know, if you had a really high hill and you put a bunch of women down this hill, I mean all of them, and then you just randomly throw a ball and it hits one of them, he says, the woman that I pick, meaning out of all these women, the woman I pick is going to be the absolute worst woman. I mean, crazified. And this is a drug addict person who'd been in jail. And I thought, I know exactly the kind of woman you're going to pick. And that you're going to pick over and over again. You're going to pick a codependent who's trying to fix you. Over and over and over again. And I told him that, but that's because that's your brokenness. You will always pick someone who is a complementary broken to you. You need to be fixed. Someone else is going to want to fix you. Seems like problem solved. Only the fact is the person who wants to fix you gets really aggravated because you're not fixing fast enough. And the person who needs to be fixed is unhappy with the fixer. Why? Because you're pushing me too hard and too fast. Why can't you just love me and accept me? Do you see how brokenness skews everything?
Yes.
That's why the fast is so important, to reveal our brokenness. The rest of the time, you know, Ronnie will be talking to me and I'm thinking, I hear him. And I think I'm filtering the words and I understand what he's saying. But you know, the older I get, the more I realize I'm always filtering and he's always filtering what I say according to how I'm feeling at the moment, what I'm thinking, the level of my brokenness at the moment. He could be saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I'm hearing H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. I mean, it's true. And it's the same way with God.
Come on.
Is it because when you're not hearing what you want to hear, you just don't deem it as important?
Ooh, very good. Yeah, I'd say yeah. I'd say that's a yes. What do you guys think?
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. A really good example. My level of brokenness is much different and much better than it was, let's say, 5 years ago when I started Celebrate Recovery. 5 years of step study has done a massive, massive change in me. The most important thing was is I did not believe I was lovable. I believe my appearance dictated whether or not I would ever be loved. I dealt with physical abuse from the past, emotional abuse, rejection, abandonment, all sorts of things, just like most of you in here have. But if somebody said something that kind of intimated that I was overweight or didn't look good, that was like, you know, not even a knife. This is like a machete in the soul. You know, and weeping and wailing shall ensue, and I'm just going to feel absolutely horrible. Well, now I have, this is the best thing about my eating disorder, I don't care what I weigh. I really don't, because I lost weight down to, I forgot what it was, and I was a size that I was okay with, and I don't know what I was expecting, but my life didn't change one iota. Not one iota. And it was like, you see, God said, it's about being healthy. It's about being self-controlled. It's about having discipline. It's about eating well. It's about listening to me when I say stop, stop, or don't do that. Mm-mm. Right? And so those kind of things would affect me. But this Christmas was a perfect example of my healing in that area. Ronnie bought me some last-minute stocking stuffers. These were clothes that were 3 times bigger than anything I'd ever worn. Okay? These, even at my biggest, they would have been too big for me. And they were lounging. He has no clue.
Wow.
He has no clue what size I am. And they were lounge clothes, you know, for like just lounging around the house, you know, like pajama kind of stuff. And I looked at it, and I went, and I opened the first one, and I didn't see the size, I just saw it. It was just the kind of stuff I love, like those fuzzy pants, you know. And I'm like, oh, I love this. And I took it out, and I saw the size, and I was like, I said, Ronnie, that's a little too big for me. And he goes, well, it's cotton, it'll shrink. I said, no, babe, no matter what, those will even stay up. So, but my point of it is, 5 years ago, I would have read that as, he thinks I'm that big. He thinks I'm huge. He must think I am so ugly. Same situation, same words, same everything. I would have read it according to my brokenness. But I'm healed in that area. I don't expect myself to ever be gorgeous. I don't expect myself to be anything other than what I am. I am finally okay with me, thick or thin. I'd rather be thinner, but I'm okay thicker. I just don't want to have to buy clothes now. Yeah, that's the only thing. Just let me stay within the clothes range in my closet. That's all I'm asking. Right? Practical. So I want you to understand why we have to be healed of our brokenness. Because it's ruining our relationships. We're not able to see things right or hear things right with God or with other people. Right? Now, if you don't mind, I'm just going to share one thing that Susan and I were talking the other day. And she made one comment that made my spirit leap up and I wanted to yell, no! And she just made one simple comment, which is, I just need to be stronger. And the Holy Spirit just screamed, no! And that's our first reaction is, I just need to be stronger. But you see, it's our brokenness that allows us to be filled with His power. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. It's the exact wrong prescription for your sickness. Trying to be strong. If we could have fixed ourselves by now, we would have. Our flesh cannot fix our flesh. Right? Instead, our brokenness and being willing to be vulnerable and open allows God to pour into us. The walls we are building to protect ourselves are keeping God out. Okay? We have a habit of experiencing pain in the world, people who don't care about us, and sometimes, erroneously, we start to believe that God doesn't care about us either. Right? That is called unbelief. We don't realize that. Other people hurt us, and then we think God doesn't love us or believe or want to help us. That is unbelief, which leads to believing you have to watch out for and take care of yourself, which is called rebellion. Taking care of yourself apart from God is rebellion, doing things your way. You see, we're hurt, and we think we've got to protect ourselves, right? We've got to protect ourselves. But protecting ourselves means we don't believe in God, don't trust in God, and we're doing things our own way. It's the natural response of the flesh, but the exact opposite of what God wants us to do. He wants us to live broken. We will never be fully healed. Ever, not on this side. We will always have some level of brokenness. But He is here to tell you that's okay. That's how He works in you. That's how He brings healing to you. Because through those cracks in our brokenness, He's pouring His Holy Spirit into us and allowing us to be healed from the inside out. This means, rebellion means you will devote yourself to self-protection, which is kind of futile since you are in reality pretty puny in comparison with everything that comes against you in the world, physically, spiritually, politically, emotionally, everything. The problem with both is that only through allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, admitting we are broken and not trying to just cover it up and hope it heals on its own, can we be open to receive the supernatural healing that is our only hope. Imagine you're in the jungle, got short sleeves on, and you go by something, maybe a crag and a rock, it's all dirty, and you rip your arm open. Big gash. So what's the first thing you do? Right? You put your hand over it to protect it. And then maybe you'll even spit in it, try and clean it, right? And then you decide, well, I'll take a leaf or something and I'll put it over it, try and keep it okay. Then maybe you rip off a piece of clothing and you tie it over on your arm, right? To keep it that way. And then in the middle of nowhere, you find this doctor. He's also in the jungle. And he's got his case in his pack and he says, that's going to get infected. Why don't you take that bandage off? I've got some antiseptic and I've got some Neosporin. All right, let me clean it out and put some salve on it. And you go, no, that's okay. I got this. That's okay. I'm just going to protect myself. I don't need any interference here. And then a couple of days go by, it gets infected, and for all you know, it's getting gangrenous. And it's going to start putting this infection into your bloodstream and affect your entire body. Why? Because you are broken and you refuse to uncover it and let it be cleaned and have some kind of salve put on it. It's that exact same way. God wants us to reveal our brokenness. And it says that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Admitting our brokenness to Him starts the cleansing process. And then it says in James that if we confess our faults one to another, and pray for one another, we will be healed. First we reveal our brokenness to God, then we reveal our brokenness to one another. We are cleansed and we are healed. That's why your brokenness does something else, allows you to minister to somebody else who's broken. Do you know it's your weakness that allows someone else to feel comfortable enough to share with you? It's your failures that makes you real. It's your failures that makes you a vessel where Holy Spirit can minister through you. People don't want to hear how you're perfect. People want to hear how you're real and how you have the same struggles. And the Holy Spirit wants you to be broken so He can pour Himself through you and minister to that person through you. Brokenness is necessary. Brokenness is a reality. You will never be done with your brokenness. It's whether or not you will reveal it and allow God to heal it and also allow Him to heal others through your brokenness. Last thing I want to share is this. We talked about Jesus. See Him there, hanging on the cross. No, let's go backwards. Let's see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane asking His three closest friends, come and pray with me while I go and pray. He is in agony. He is broken. He is sweating great drops of blood. You can tell when He says, could you not stay awake and pray with me? He is betrayed. He feels abandoned. He feels rejected. He feels so alone. Then He goes and he's beaten. All right, in Pilate's court. He's got the cat of nine tails. His back is ripped to shreds. And then they put a robe on Him and press it into it. And then after it's dried, rip it off to start over again. They put thorns in His brow, and then they take a cane and bash the crown of thorns into his head. Then they take him, and then with this bloodied back and these thorns in his head, he has to carry a huge wooden cross on his back through the city. He is humiliated. His brokenness is completely and utterly there for everyone to see. Then he is basically naked, nailed to a cross. All of his brokenness and all of his vulnerability hanging there while people mock him, spit on him, cast lots for his clothing. Until finally then, a spear is put in his side to make sure he's dead. Jesus was publicly broken. Why? For our salvation. For our healing. If that is the way that God chose to save the world, was to take his perfect sinless son and break him in front of the whole world for our salvation, why should it surprise us that he is going to break us and use our brokenness to help heal others and save others? You understand?
Yes,
I don't want you to feel shame about your brokenness anymore. Your brokenness is part of who you are, and it's part of who I am. It's the fact that you're afraid of it or ashamed of it. That's the thing that's going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. Your brokenness has to be allowed to be made public in a safe environment, like here, or like Celebrate Recovery, or Step Study, or in a small group, or with your pastor. But I wanted to go one thing further. We are always here to get healing for ourselves. I want you to start realizing your brokenness is for others, that you will be broken bread and poured out wine for other people. You are not just here for yourself. We are naturally selfish. But as we allow ourselves to be broken, we will find ourselves drawn to, and other people drawn to us, to be able to share our vulnerability and share our brokenness. The biggest and highest compliment I have ever received is when somebody told me, "I have so much respect for you and I love coming and being with you because you are so real. You tell everything that's going on with you." And you know what? That's not normally the way it goes in a church. You gotta look like you got it all together. Because brokenness isn't allowed. Right? It means I'm a failure with God. But every time you feel ashamed of your brokenness, you remember Jesus on the cross broken for us. He had to be broken for us, and we have to be broken for others. So I'm going to stop there. Oh, wait a minute. Here, this. Isaiah 54. "The Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheek to those who pulled out my beard. I do not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let me confront him. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment, and moths will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let no one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the let the one who walks in the dark who has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. Now listen to this. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourself with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. The opposite of brokenness is self-sufficiency. Trying to do it on your own. Trying to cover your brokenness instead of revealing it and letting it be healed. And the result is always torment. There is never any peace because we are always out of God's will. We are cut off and isolated from God. There is no peace. We need to stop lighting our own fires. We need to stop trying to paper mache around ourselves as if we're whole. And we need to acknowledge our brokenness and love each other through it. And that's what I wanted to share. Does anybody want to share anything in regard to what I...